This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry. And the message for this particular session is a message that was first published back in January of the year 2003. It's being put on audio today in the month of February of the year 2024. That means about 21 years ago that this message was first published. And the reason why I give you the dates of these older messages is because of the fact there may be something in these messages, some person, place, or thing, or event that took place during the time that this message was published that may or may not be relevant today. And if so, I will try to give you a heads up on it. But let me say this, when it comes down to the Word of God, it is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. That means 6,000 years ago, today, and 6,000 years from now, if the Lord tarries, His word will still be relevant. And those that are exposed to it, you would do well to take heed to it and adjust your lives according to it. Now, our subject scripture is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, and verse number 14. And as I said, this is for the month of January of the year 2003. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And it says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The message title for this message is, "Which way do you choose to go?" Which way do you choose to go? Life, there is nothing like it. From the time we came into this world until now, we have enjoyed all of the ups and downs of it. Some of us have enjoyed more good things that it has to offer, while others have had to struggle to find anything to really be happy about. But still, just being alive is something to be happy about. If we look at what others in other countries have to face every day, then we should all be thankful. What makes life, or rather its experiences, good or bad? There are usually many factors involved in the equation, but the main factors are the choices that you make. Choices. The key to everything that occurs in our lives and the resulting pleasure or pain that we experience comes from the choices that we make. In fact, the Bible gives us direct instructions on what to expect in our lives based on what we decide to do and how we act. You can look at Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verses 26 through 28, And then you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read the entire chapter. Then we got Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19. And then there is Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7. Now, I mean, you know, you can read those. I won't go into detail with all of them. I'll give you a heads up on one. Galatians chapter 6 and 7 says that you reap what you sow. So that gives you a hint right there. But like I said, read those other references in Deuteronomy, and you will get a full picture. Now, when I say everything that occurs in our lives depends on choices we make, that says that we are responsible for our own life experiences, whether good or bad. A lot of people don't like that line of thinking because it puts accountability directly in their court. In our society today, we can see glaring examples of this when we see people going to court suing people for injuries or other damages that they themselves caused because of their own actions. One lady sues a restaurant because she gets burned by some coffee she spilled on herself while in her car. Now, I wasn't there, and I don't know all of the details, but no one said the person handing her the coffee spilled it on her. She spilled it on herself, probably because she was mishandling something that was known to be hot, namely the coffee. We have people that have injured themselves acting stupid or committing a crime and then suing somebody else for their injuries because they're victims, sometimes they're victims in the case of criminal behavior. In other words, you trying to rob somebody or they're trying to rob somebody or hurt somebody or something, and the person manages to inflict some injury on the perpetrator, and then the perpetrator goes to court and tries to sue the victim for injuring them, and they forget all about the fact that that the victim is the one that this perpetrator was trying to attack, and that the victim just did something in self-defense and injured a person. You know, usually that takes place in the case of a shooting or something like that. But let's go on. Well, these are only a couple of examples of simple things. But look at those people that smoke cigarettes that end up with lung cancer. Emphysema, throat cancer, or other disease, and want to sue the cigarette manufacturer. And what's worse is people that sit on juries and award them millions of dollars. With examples like this and the coffee episode, no wonder we are seeing so many frivolous lawsuits popping up, threatening jobs and raising prices on products when manufacturers or other companies have to recoup the losses or else go out of business. So what do? They raise the prices of the products that you and I purchase to make up for the money they lost in a frivolous lawsuit because some jury wants to give the what appears to be the victim, but was actually a knucklehead, a whole lot of money because of what they say the victim or the company or whatever it is did to hurt them, and then the rest of society has to pay for it. Well, let's go on a little further. The Bible lets us know that we, irrespective of what we believe, we will suffer or prosper based solely on what we do or don't do. That leaves a very sour taste in the mouths of those that refuse to accept responsibility for their actions. By society catering to this notion, no wonder we have the mess that we have today. With nobody willing to stand up and face the music, hardly, we are heading down the road to destruction. Now, when I'm talking about facing the music hardly, there's some of us that will stand and say when we, admit we did something wrong and it wasn't somebody else's fault, it was our fault or something like that. That's an instance where honesty is always, in my mind, the best policy. It even goes with what the Word of God says. But the thing is, we have a majority of people are not willing to do that, and they pursue all sorts of different avenues to try to keep from having to admit that their problems are the result of their own actions. Anyway, heading down the road, let's look at that term as it pertains to our lives, both physical and spiritual. What road is that? The road to destruction. Let's look at two roads or paths, or as in the case of our subject scripture, or subject verse, gates. We have two opposite examples, one wide and the other narrow. The wide road, path, or gate represents a condition that allows for maximum movement with ease. By that I mean a lot of people or traffic can travel on or go through them, and they can do it with maximum speed. Look at freeways, for instance. They are designed for that purpose. Many cars can move at maximum speeds without having to worry about stopping at stop signs, traffic lights, and stopping for pedestrians. They are designed to get you from point A to B in the shortest amount of time. As long as there are no tie-ups, everyone is happy. Whenever possible, people will opt for freeways because they are in a hurry and they want to get where they are going fast. When dealing with the narrow roads, paths, or gates, you have restrictions of movement. Few people can travel there. It is easy to get congested, and there is always more to look out for. On narrow streets, you have to watch your speed. There may be kids playing nearby, and they may run out into the street in front of you. You have stop signs, traffic lights, and a host of other things that increase the amount of vigilance you have to put forth to negotiate them safely. When dealing with the former freeway condition, stress levels are minimized. With the latter, they are greatly increased. Many of the choices we make in driving on different roads are directly related to how much stress we are willing to deal with. If I can take the freeway someplace, I will do it so I can get there quick with less stress than dealing with traffic on certain surface streets. Naturally, if I have no choice but to take the surface streets, then that's not my responsibility. Well, in life, the choices we make can be just like the conditions on the freeways and the surface streets. We make our choices based on several factors, and the main one is stress. How much stress is it going to cause me if I decide to go this way or that? One of the main stress factors is, what will people think of my choice? How can I deal with it? The answer to these questions is, we want to be looked on favorably by others and feel good, so we go with the easy flow of society and get on the wide path and go through the wide gate that leads to destruction. More and more people today, in this nation especially, choose every day to go the easy path of life because they don't want to deal with things that may hamper their happiness and feel good about yourself way of thinking. They figure the only way to feel good about themselves is to have people around them that reinforce that mentality, so they fall in lockstep with the majority of society. This is why the physical condition of society is so bad. They have chosen the wrong spiritual path that leads to physical destruction. By that I mean all things that happen to us, good or bad, depend on one thing, and the one thing only, and that is God. If we do what He says is right, we will be blessed and prosper and have good success. If, on the other hand, we choose to go our own way, which is contrary to God, we will suffer. Life without God's direction is like being on the freeway. Most people travel it. They are free from restrictions and they feel good because they have a lot of company. Whatever they feel like doing, they do, with the support of those that surround them. They don't like to be thought of negatively. They want to feel good and be liked by as many people as possible. The more, the merrier. Life with God's direction is just the opposite. It is like the narrow side streets. You have little traffic and warning signs, stop lights, and other things that put restrictions on your movement. When it comes to stress, it is greatly increased because few travel there. and those that choose it are met with scorn, ridicule, and persecution. Something that is looked on as madness by those on the freeway. Why stay on that side street when you have this great big freeway? It is where the freeway is leading you versus the side street. The spiritual choice to travel without God's direction on that freeway has led to corruption in government, increases in crime, the spread of all types of diseases, including cancer, TB or tuberculosis, and AIDS, the deaths of our kids to crime and suicide are a direct result of these choices. Loss of jobs and the overall condition of society at large can be blamed on what society itself chooses to do. Those of us that are on the side street have been on the freeway in the past and occasionally have gotten on it again when we decided to get away from God's direction. The good thing is, there is always an exit ramp to get off. You know, people usually get on the freeways because they know where it will take them. The problem is this freeway, talking about the spiritual freeway or the freeway that is without the direction of God, will take them straight to destruction and hell if they follow it to the end. Now, that, my friends, is madness. Especially when they have been warned by the signs that God has put in place. What signs am I talking about? All of the bad things that I previously mentioned. If God is in control of everything and so many things are going wrong, then it has to be that God is allowing these things to happen because of something that we are doing, and we need to find out what it is. Standing up for righteousness is not easy, but the end result is worth all of the problems that we may face. There is a story in the Bible about two men. One was called Lazarus, and the other was referred to as a rich man. Lazarus' life was one of poverty and disability. The rich man had it all. Finally, both of them died. Lazarus went on to what was termed back then as the bosom of Abraham. That's an Old Testament reference to paradise and heaven. The rich man ended up in hell. The rich man was told that he had all the good things of life while Lazarus suffered all of his life. Now see, the whole thing about this story is the fact that the rich man really didn't care that much for Lazarus. He passed by Lazarus, and I would take it from the story here that the rich man probably just gave Lazarus a couple of pennies or something like that when he could have afforded to give Lazarus more, or even give him some food or something like that or whatever. But whatever the case was, he didn't do it. In other words, he just looked down his nose at Lazarus, just like a lot of rich super rich people look down on their noses at people that are not well off, or basically what you would call bums, or you know, those that are sick or something like that, where they could help them if they wanted to, but they didn't want to help them. That's why Lazarus, this story took place, and Lazarus wound up in the bosom of Abraham, while the man, rich man, wound up in hell. And it says, going back to the message here, it says, but in eternity, Lazarus got the best while the rich man got the worst. Now, it is not a sin to be rich, like I just said. The problem is how you acquire it and what you do with it, with what you have. If your focus on life is getting rich, having a good time, being liked by everyone, and basically doing your own thing with no regard to what God says, then you can have it and all that goes with it. But the end result is you will suffer. That goes back to Galatians chapter 6 and 7 I told you about earlier when I gave you those scriptures to read, where the Galatians 6, 7 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, you going through life doing all this stuff, you're sowing the seeds to your end result when it comes time to stand before God. Now back to the message. Society tries to take narrow paths and widen them. You can't take God's way and make it fit your way. Many so-called Christians follow this way of thinking because it fits their religious agenda. They want all of God's blessings, but they want them on their terms. As soon as they have to do that, they have left the street and gotten on the freeway. They don't like the idea of not being able to go to the casinos, playing the lottery and the numbers. They frown on the idea that they can't shack up. They really get upset when you tell them that shacking up with someone is of the same gender is an abomination. Dare I mention their political choices? Christians voting for people whose agenda is totally anti-Christ, and they defend it based on stretching the truth and lying on top of that. It is this last part that is at the root of the majority of our problems, because it is the preachers that have jumped on the freeway and led the politicians and everyone else down the road to destruction. God has given us plenty of warnings. He has signs posted all down the road saying, exit, danger ahead. But you think about all that stress of traveling on the streets and figure, you will keep going until you have no choice but to exit. Now, mind you, now I'm talking about spiritual things here. You may not get the chance that you see. That freeway is your life, and your life could end at any minute. And if you die before you get off, then you are on your way to hell. People die in that situation every day. stray bullets. A person running a stop sign or a red traffic light. And now we have terrorists. Now see, I was talking about, that's what I was talking about back in about 2003. But, you know, things have gotten a whole lot worse. Well, we still got terrorists and all this other stuff going on and a whole lot more. Now, anything can take you out of here. It's time to make up your mind to take the next exit before it is too late. God says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You are hearing his voice today, right now. If you want to take heed to the warning, take the exit now by praying this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner and I ask you to forgive me of my sinful ways and to come into my heart and be Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross and rose again so that I may have eternal life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That is known as the prayer of salvation, or the prayer that has put you on the exit. The ball is in your court. Which way do you choose to go? Well, that's the end of this message, and basically, to sum it up, like I said, the freeway and the side streets that I'm talking about, the freeway is the path that the world is on. It's wide, it's less stressful to what the surface streets of life have to offer. See, the surface streets of life always come with warnings and stop signs and this, that, and other. And in the spiritual case, it's God's word telling you not to do this, to go here, do that, don't do this, stop, turn around, do this, that, and other. On the freeway, you can just get on there and fly and go and just, you know, just do your own thing. And like I say, you on the freeway, you got all these exits, and at any time you can get off of the exit, but you keep on staying in the high speed lane. You don't want to be bothered with the exits. And like I said, those exits are the ways off that's going to put you back up on the side streets, but you want to stay on the freeway. And you say you're going to ride the freeway until the end or something like that, or you have a certain goal or something that you want to try to get to, and then you get up off of the freeway once you get to that goal. But it's not guaranteed you're going to make it to that point. Like I said, if you're on that freeway and you get taken out by whatever circumstance happens to you, then guess what? You headed for hell. It's just that plain and simple. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this message, and as I usually say when I'm closing out this message to you and your family, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again for another message. Good day.